The rustling resolves into a faint laughter, a familiar one. Gently following a smooth rut in the forest, also familiar, you follow and find gates spreading open. You know they're not always open. A path leading smoothly to the front door of a large manor house. You know that sometimes that path is a maze. But today, the 10 steps up to the front door are easily traversed. 1, and then 2, and then a last hop of 3 at a time. Perhaps this eagerness is some spell, some manifestation. Or perhaps, as you hear something faint in your ears, a faint whistling too high for most people, perhaps this is a trained response. Either way, you meander. You turn left down a familiar hallway. You find yourself heading into a room. A large oak door swings open to admit you. Standing inside is a faintly purple-skinned figure, her smile and her two sharp incisors offsetting an imperious look as she gestures you to a padded chair. There's another figure in the room. Her skin is simply pale white, but she has those noticeably demonic horns, high, pert breasts, and a little dog collar and leash. Hanging. Her voice is melodious. Hello there. Sit. And when she says that, maybe you find yourself sitting automatically. Maybe Seraph's hand finds your shoulder and guides you into the chair. But either way, the figure above leans down by your ear. Sleep. And then the other voice takes over, whispering all sorts of things, but it becomes harder and harder to differentiate one thing from another, so that it all flows into a coherent picture, reminding you to be a good puppy, reminding you that it was wrong to leave, reminding you of the potential pleasure to come. And you feel her hands on your shoulders, her hot breath in your ear, and an awareness that you are in an all too familiar, all too dangerous, and yet oh so pleasurable place, as she re-entrains you. You see, pet, comes the voice, and you do not fully know whose it is. You are simply inconvenient to always be tending to. Such a needy puppy. So why not train you to get your rocks off while I can still revel in my control? And you realize it must be Mistress speaking. Your body, limp, loose, heavy, relaxed, slips a little deeper already. Some enchantment over the place is oh so soothing. It's time for Puppy to take a midday nap and to awake with fresh new ideas. Maybe she's done this to you before. Maybe there's no way to tell which memories are real and which are not as important. Something streams through from overhead. The time always did operate strangely here, reactive to the mind as it is. But as you manage to gently pare one eye open, you wonder why there's a full moon shining through the round glass porthole above, and why it's so captivating before your eyes swing closed once more. Sleep, the word resumes in your mind, and you know you're lost to it. And then, more words flowing, conditioning, training, fueling new thoughts. Relax. The word echoes in your mind, helping you ease your way downward. I mean, in your relaxed state, already at ease from the gentle soothing and direction of my voice, you may not be inclined to agree with the simple order, relax. But it's as if once your mind is handed that general principle, that simple request, it would be pointless to do otherwise. Follow my words. Visualize as I speak. All these principles play through your head. Faint smile on my voice, I hope you can detect. As you stare. In some senses, you know your eyes are closed. But then, you can also see what I describe, allowing it to play across your eyelids and into your mind, giving you time and space to absorb what I say, to remember it in that particular dreamlike and yet oh so memorable way that hypnotic relaxation oozes into your mind. The right power and the right thought in the right place helps you relax, be at ease, open yourself to persuasion. After all, if you want to explore altered states of consciousness, you have to go in with that desire to be altered. It wouldn't be so bad to be changed and to explore interesting new ways of being. It would certainly be pleasurable to delay normal types of gratification so you can explore others. In light of this, it's often useful to help my listening subjects to set a time scale. This can be long or short. It can be as short as the swinging back and forth of a simple timepiece, or longer, like the hands of a clock moving in a slow circle across its face, almost lazily counting the days away. But one of the most intriguing ways to tie the consciousness of a listener, once we've had our little discussion and I've left behind some intriguing ideas for your consideration, one of the most interesting ways is to tie it to the circuit of the moon. It's not as boring as a full month. The lunar month instead, sitting at roughly 28 days, visible, mapped in the sky, there for you to stare upon, and in your case, I think particularly appropriate. Some little part of you yearns, and that part is growing larger every day. Yearning to escape and indulge in certain wonderful puppy-like behaviors, certain outlets that are animalistic but endearing and pleasurable. And the funny thing is, more even than the dog-like nature of these thoughts which creep out and root themselves in you, is the desire underlying it all. To be owned, to think in terms of your owner, to yearn for her, to ache for her, to let your body burn with whimpering, perhaps literally whimpering, desire for her. That's what you want. Indeed, it might even be something you need. Think of the simple unconcern, the wonderful pleasure that comes from obeying in that particular way, where you know you are cherished, appreciated, because you're such a good, loyal pet, a good dog at her heel. And part of that is learning restraint. I have a puppy, and if I set that dog down with a jar of peanut butter in front of them and I say no, then that dog won't eat. We know this to be the case. And the reason is, even though that dog might have its favorite treat in front of it, It would feel so guilty. If there weren't the right authorization behind the action. And maybe they would stray once. Maybe they would stray twice. Maybe they would stray every once in a blue moon. But at other times, when there wasn't permission or the right circumstances, they'd find themselves whimpering. That puppy of mine. Feeling simply wrong about doing what they want so deeply to do. And feeling that obeying was more important, more essential, more core to who and what they are. That sense of being owned is very important to you, isn't it? That aching desire. These thoughts all flow through your mind, and while that may seem to suggest that they leave when they get to the other end, they don't really. They hang on. A few thoughts here and there, hanging in there, influencing, dragging, claiming their space, taking up residence so that they can come back again and again, and training you to a particular way of thinking, thinking of submitting, thinking of pleasing her. Thinking of making a dedicated altar out of your own puppy self. You know you ought not to have expectations of her. You should instead revel in every little bit of attention she throws your way. You should enjoy it, cherish it, live in that moment. The moment of her hand brushing behind your ears, running through your hair. You love that, don't you? It's all right to admit it. I think most people would, after all. It is a lover's touch. But speaking of lover, unless she is the one touching you, unless she is the one bringing you to your climax, I think it's most appropriate if you only come at particular times. How would we do that? Well, I did mention a time scale. Maybe once every 28 days would be enough for our aching puppy to make sure that things don't get too irresistibly aroused. Only being able to come on the full moon. But we have to be fair. Envision that moon in your mind's eye, round, bright, high, staring at it, inspecting the image of the moon that lurks in all of us. And it is such a primal, such a human symbol, and a doggy one as well, that we can picture it without having to. But every time you see that moon, you'll be seeing a new one. Some tiny feature of that distant surface will have changed, become more pockmarked, more weather-worn. Even in the vacuum void, there is something to shift the surface a tiny amount as it moves, entrapped in Earth's gravity, as you are entrapped in the cycle of the moon, staring at it full and overhead. Now, you don't necessarily have that excellent doggy sense of when the moon is at its fullest. You may need to consult almanacs, or books, or someone in the know. But when you know that it's the full moon, I like to think you'll feel it a little. An ache. An urge to turn your eyes upward as you come, to let a little howl or growl escape you. As you come, and that is the only time you're allowed, only when she allows it, or when the moon is full. Full to just the right proportions, completely full, filling your mind with the knowledge that you may come, And because you may have been waiting a long time, I'm sure you'll take advantage. And just like the dog camped out next to their favorite treat, you know that only with her permission, or when the time is right, when the treat drops itself on your lap free of her attention, when you're not taking anything, but instead bestowing upon yourself your just desserts. Only in those circumstances is it appropriate. Now, let's add more strokes to the canvas. Paint the picture more completely. Give you everything you need to be what you already yearn to be. You need, you crave, you desire to lick. Puppies love to lick. And of course, having been exposed to it, knowing the scent of her, your owner, your mistress, so intricately, licking, tasting, even being near to her scent, her flavor, her uniqueness, is enough to set your little puppy senses alight with desire. It's not like an ordinary exposure to a person. You can sense her in ways you didn't think were possible. Just being near her, oh, it must fill you with a desire to lay on your back, expose your belly, whimper with desire, but more than anything else, you want to serve her, to lick. To be drawn between her legs and hear her gasp. Feel her gripping your hair, running her fingers behind your ears, petting you like a good puppy, making you lick, you feeling your tongue become more trained and tireless every time you lick. You will always lick. And it's acceptable to beg. You're not begging her to touch you, to make you come. That happens on the full moon, or when she uses her body to do it, or allows and orders it. But you, licking, kneeling, serving, that's where a puppy should be. Head between her legs, licking enthusiastically. A bright smile in your eyes, even as your mouth hangs open to better expose her to your tongue, dancing, your entire body, calculated, positioned to help her legs close around your head, to help her pull you in tighter, to let her evoke and demand. When she requests you lick, when she says you lick, when she allows, after you beg for it, you lick. You know what you need, what you want. These things were already inside of you. I'm just putting forth a compelling argument for how pleasurable it would be. And the more aroused you get, the more your mind, as I offhandedly mentioned earlier, ties itself to the pattern of the moon. The more you'll find that placing your hands between your legs and trying to stimulate yourself when the moon is not full is simply inappropriate. And since you know that such a core part of your sensuality is tied to that moon, you'll think of it, you'll stare at it, you'll admire its beauty. You'll come back here to hear me rhapsodize and teach you about your aching desire. And every second that you make her happy, that you serve her as a good little puppy pet. Every second makes you hot and happy and brings you closer. This calls to you from inside. You would love to lick her, love to serve her, to be encapsulated in her scent in a way that only a good dog possibly can be. Only a dog can truly know. The need to lick, the wonder of her taste, her scent, the invasiveness of her existence around you. Only a puppy can know. And you want these secrets. You want to be initiated into them, to know them in detail. And you need them. Can you imagine if you stopped listening? If you let these little wonders of discovery slip away? And you lost the ability to remember what it is to be on your knees, the knowledge that the moon is full overhead, filling you with joy. Your hands between your legs, working you to an orgasm you know you deserve and need. Your tongue on her, so good that you sometimes forget to stroke yourself, forget to touch yourself, because it's so good to serve her. Her controlling you, strong thighs holding your head in place, her hands rewarding you with little scritches. Good dog, lick, yes, you're allowed. Oh, to have permission to serve her. You would beg for that. You would appreciate that any time she lets you have it. You're so grateful, and it makes you want to be her good doggy. And that's it. But it's not just her. Any time you hear that you're a good doggy, it means somebody's recognized your nature. And all month while you wait for that moon, you're going to throb. You're going to feel your genitals ache wantonly with desire. A good ache. An ache you know will be satisfied when you can. Whether it's because there's a full moon overhead, releasing that puppy binding between your legs, or because you've been told, aloud, or touched by her, by the one you think of as your beloved, owning mistress, your owner, yes. A good puppy relishes the throbbing between their legs. A good dog wants to explore this. It's what you need. And as you feel the arousal that is going to be your bread and butter from now on move into your head and send pulses experimentally between your legs to show you that she's in charge, that her scent turns you on, her taste overjoys you, her body thrills you, her dominance over your own obedient puppy self is everything. You ache for it. You'll always ache for it. And that aching, ooh, yes. You need it. It's just a fact that on the full moon is when you get off. She might let you get off other times, but that's her call. A collar would be nice. A collar could remind you of that little pact between you and the moon overhead. So that only when it's full are you able to come. And it's more than that. You don't come like others. We've spent all this time explaining your aching puppy desires, your throb, your need. How does a dog get off? Well, you're going to have to position yourself to hump something convenient, aren't you? Going to have to rub your body against it, stimulate your genitals some other way. That's going to be the only way. After all, that's what you deserve, to get off and feel that aching, throbbing blankness, to pant like a puppy, feel your collar reinforcing that deal, feel the blood throb and ache in your genitals all month, waiting for the day when finally the full moon overhead says now you may release, now you may come, now you may let yourself go. And be what you always were, a puppy in waiting, obedient to her, to your owner, to your mistress. And when you lick her, you feel pleasure. In fact, that pleasure is so good that you might not find yourself missing regular stimulation, because that's a different kind of pleasure, and you need it. Can you imagine the terror of forgetting these things? If you want them to be a part of you, you need to re-ingrain them regularly, often, often enough to absorb them deep. And if you're going to absorb them, you need to listen to me. Let every word I say echo in your head, reinforcing, training, conditioning, giving you the tools to be the best possible puppy. That's what you want, isn't it? You will always lick her. Only the moon lets you come. Your throbbing, aching, needy sex is just driving you. You want to come, but you know her scent, her taste are more important. Serving a mistress is more important. Good doggies serve. Good doggies return here. They let their little triumphs reward them. Good dog. And it goes deeper. It slides deeper. The mind absorbs. The mind listens. The mind obeys and wags its tail. Stares at the moon in fascination. Pants and comes and thrusts against things. Safely, achingly, letting that pent-up, throbbing arousal which always lives between your legs find an outlet at last. An outlet other than licking. You would always lick her. You crave to. You offer to. Any time. It's her decision. And there is so much pleasure in letting it be her decision. In letting yourself be ruled by something outside yourself. If you let the cycle of the moon inform when you can come, then not only does she not need to monitor to make sure you're coming enough, after all, you have a whole day to get it out of your system, but something outside yourself, powerful and changeless, tied to that cycle, is deciding when the most profound sexual feeling is allowed to resonate through you and send you spasming into echoes of ecstatic delight. Yes. Isn't that such an attractive idea? To return here and be reminded of that cycle, of your craving for her, of your aching puppy needs. Good boy. Good doggy. Deeper and deeper into you, even as you listen to my voice, and you awaken very aware that when the moon next comes out, you will be watching.